If you are able, we're going to turn our Bibles to Romans and chapter 12. If you have a church Bible, that's easy enough. If you're happy to listen, that's also good. So, Romans, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And the church in Rome is a church, a group of believers, followers of Jesus, that Paul has never met. He's never been to Rome, but he is looking to go to Rome. And so he writes this letter in anticipation that one day he will see them. And so it's a letter full of encouragement to them. So, what did I say? Page 1139, Romans chapter 12. He says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And we thank God for that reading. And we pray that it may be in some way for us the living word of God. So this last few weeks and for the next few weeks, under the heading of the way of discipleship, I'm reflecting for a few minutes each week on this theme from Romans chapter 12. So just taking one chapter out from this longer letter to reflect on the way of discipleship. What is discipleship? Discipleship is learning to be like Jesus. We can have disciples in pretty much any area of life. To be a disciple, it was a very common thing in the time of Jesus. You could be a disciple, a follower, an apprentice. That would be a good word. An apprentice, a learner, a student of somebody else. And the aim was not just to learn somebody's words. So if they were a teacher and you were an apprentice to a teacher, you wouldn't just want to learn the words that they spoke, but you would want to learn something of their character, something of who they were. So if you were an apprentice to a great teacher, let's call his name, I don't know, Jeremiah or something, that's a biblical name, you would want to listen carefully to Jeremiah, learn his teaching and his techniques, but also you would be wanting to imbibe kind of the spirit and the character of Jeremiah, so that when you spoke to people as a student of Jeremiah, if they closed their eyes, apart from the different voice, for them, it would be like they're listening to Jeremiah. Because you've learnt not just words, but you're speaking with their spirit as well. And that's what discipleship is about. It's about learning not just the words that Jesus spoke, but reflecting on his lifestyle as well, and trying in some way to kind of receive the spirit of Jesus. Now, God says he generously gives the Holy Spirit, the spirit of Jesus, to anyone who asks. And in discipleship, we say we want to learn the words of Jesus, we want to learn the lifestyle of Jesus, but we want to somehow have the spirit of Jesus so that when we're with people, there is something of Jesus that they're receiving, because we've imbibed Jesus in that way. So discipleship, the way of discipleship, is about learning to be like Jesus. Learning to be like Jesus. And particularly today, I want to reflect on having that spirit of Jesus and really doing what we do, whatever it is we do, doing what we do in the spirit of Jesus. So however Jesus would do things, whatever spirit of love or mercy or kindness or generosity or grace or mercy, he would do things, doing what we do and being who we are in the spirit of Jesus. Now, in the verses that I've read today, in verse 6, we have different gifts, it says, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is, then do it in accordance with your faith. I've missed out a few words there. But if, it should be your, there's a typo there. Did you spot the typo? If your gift is whatever, then do it in accordance with your faith. Now, what do we mean? Do it in accordance with your faith. Often when we talk about faith, particularly in a religious context, a Christian context particularly for us, when we talk about faith, what we often talk about, it seems to me, is what we believe. And we can probably have a list and say, well, this is what I believe. I believe this, number one. I believe this, number two. I believe this, number three. And we can go round. We could perhaps agree a list of the 10 most important things we believe. And often that's how we speak about our faith. And we might say, my faith is strong. And sometimes we might mean, because I believe those 10 things really firmly and really clearly. I've got no doubts about them at all. But here, as the Apostle Paul writes to this church in Rome, people he's never met, and he's encouraging them, and he's encouraging them to do whatever they do in the spirit of Jesus. So as if Jesus himself was doing it, he says, you've all got gifts. You've all been given these gifts by God. Do it in accordance with your faith. And what he's actually talking about is something that's more living and vibrant than simply a list of propositional statements that we might say we believe. I believe A, B, C, or whatever. He's talking about a faith that is personal. That's a personal experience of faith. He's talking about a faith that is relational, and he's talking about faith that is dynamic. And I was talking to Sarah, my wife, about this week, and she's a great sounding board. You know, if I've got a duff idea, you know, I'm going to find it out, talking to Sarah, you know. And so it's always good to run ideas. I've got this idea, Sarah. And I've been married to Sarah for, to get this right, 37, just over 37 years. We got married, 1988. And over that time, I've got to know Sarah more and more and more. I know some of her quirks. I know some of the ways she speaks, her likes and her dislikes. And, you know, in any marriage, you kind of get on with it, you know. And you know you are different, but you get on with it. And I have a deep sense of faith in Sarah. I trust her. It is personal. It's not anybody else's faith. I can't have anybody else's trust in Sarah. I've got to have it for myself, because otherwise the marriage wouldn't work. And it's got to be real for me. I can't, it's not, it can't be. Can you imagine if it was just words? You know, and then Sarah did that thing that is annoying. You know, if it was just words, it would fail. But it has to be personal. It's something, my faith, my trust in Sarah has to, it has to be personal. It has to be something I've worked out and I'm living with. And when we talk about our faith in Jesus, it can't just be words. It can't be anything from anybody else. It has to be something you receive, you work out, you figure out, with the help of other people quite often, because we all need help in relationships. But it has to be personal. And as I already hinted, faith in Jesus is relational. It is a relationship with Jesus. And we might think that's a bit strange, because Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and we're just reading of him. And yet the extraordinary thing is that by the Spirit of God, we can know and sense and be aware of the reality and the livingness of Jesus with us right now. It is relational. It's personal and it's relational. But then it's dynamic. And by this, what I mean is, now I could say, I'm going to use an do you want to be my example? Do you want to come here just a second, David? Come on. Okay. Right, I just want you to stand there. Okay. Thanks, David. He's a good model, isn't he? Okay. How we sometimes treat faith is this. You know, it's personal. It's my relationship, let's say, with David. It's relational. It's personal. But then what we want in our faith is for David to be standing there and never to move. Is that agreed? You're not going to move? Okay. And then we have a sense of confidence because, oh, well, I know where he is. You know, wherever I am, I know where he is. Right. And that is not faith in Jesus. Right. Are you okay to just take my hand? I want you just to walk. Okay, right. Okay, now, I just want to observe this, right? Our relationship is changing. It's not, David is not, was not in a fixed space, in a fixed point, but he was moving. And what did I have to do? I had to move. It's all right, you can sit down now. Okay. I had to move as well. I was by his side, and then I was behind him. I could be in front of him. I'm always having to be moving as well. Always seeking out, where is David? Is he there? And where we've come unstuck is to think that Jesus is simply in a fixed spot and kind of we can concretize him and say, right, I know where everything is. But he's not like that. Jesus spoke once to a man, a very religious man, by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus knew his stuff. And you can read this story in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was curious about Jesus, about his teaching, and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, the thing you don't understand about the Spirit of God is the Spirit blows wherever he wills. You can't contain where the Spirit is. One moment the Spirit is here, and then the Spirit is blowing over here, moving all over the place. And so it is with our dynamic faith in Jesus. We have a relationship that's living, personal, but it's dynamic. Do we see that? And it's so safe when we think Jesus is fixed and we can control who Jesus is and where Jesus goes. But when we recognize Jesus is alive and moving, then we go, oh, that means I've got to move too. And, I've said in the past, I've met people who have said, I think I pretty much had my faith sorted when I was 18. And I think, crikey, what kind of faith have, I'm still figuring my faith out. I've been a Christian for, nearly 50 years. I'm still figuring it out. For me, it's never stood still, my faith. I'm always exploring, always asking questions, always finding answers, always moving, always changing my point of view, because it's dynamic. And that's what our faith is. And when the Apostle Paul speaks about faith, he's speaking about faith in Jesus, which is personal and relational and dynamic. And he says, if your gift is, whatever your gift is, whatever your skill is, then do it in accordance with your faith in Jesus, your relationship with Jesus, the extent to which you are able to take your gift and do your gift in the Spirit of Jesus. And if you're stuck, if you're not moving and living and flowing with Jesus, what you present is very stuck and concretized. But the faith is living and active. Now, the Apostle Paul says in this list, he says we've got different gifts. This is all of us, according to the grace given us. If your gift, he says, if prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So this list of things, if your gift is prophecy, what is prophecy? Prophecy, on one level, it's speaking the words of Jesus. And we could have a test, couldn't we? What words of Jesus do you remember? But remember, it's not just about repeating the words of Jesus. It's about doing it in the Spirit of Jesus, doing it in the manner of Jesus. And just because you can quote the Bible doesn't make you a prophet. Doesn't make you a prophet. But here, the gift of prophecy, that ability to speak and apply the words of God to a particular situation, it's prophecy when it's done in the Spirit of Jesus. So how would Jesus speak? Well, he'd speak words, but it would be done with love and with mercy and with kindness and generosity and compassion. And so often we can just isolate words and speak them to somebody. The Bible says whatever it is. That's not prophecy. It's only prophecy when it's done in the Spirit of God, with the same love and mercy and kindness that God would have spoken those words. And then we have this word service. Paul says, if your grace gift is serving, then serve. Now, you know, leaders in this church are called deacons. And literally the word in the Greek that Paul uses here is deacon, diakonos. If your gift is serving, then, I don't know what, then deek. Is that the appropriate word? You know, if it is serving. But for some people, and of course you would expect somebody to serve, to do it in the spirit of Jesus, so that those who are being served feel like they're receiving Jesus when you serve them. And then teaching. If your gift is teaching, if your gift is helping people to be like Jesus, to communicate to people what Jesus said and what he did, then teach in the spirit of Jesus. Do it in the same way that Jesus did it. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. And I like encouragers. Do you like encouragers? I feel like those people who encourage are like fuel to my fire. You know? I feel sometimes that is so true. The encouragers are the thank you people, the well done people, that I appreciated that people. That was good people. Keep going people. Keep on keeping on people. Those who take the time and the effort to acknowledge, to see and to acknowledge other people, so that other people, those people they're speaking to, think, I'll keep going. I'll keep going. That's what encouragement's about. Helping other people keep going and to remain true in their faith when everything seems to be collapsing all around. And you know what it's like when you come up against people who don't encourage, how life-sapping that can be. How depressing that can be. You come away from a conversation and you think, oh, crikey, I don't know if I'm going to go on with this. Some of you might remember a man by the name of Fred Hands. Fred Hands was a member in the church a million years ago. He's a very tall man. And I used to like talking to Fred because he always had a word of encouragement for me. You know, and I tell you, I need encouragement. You wouldn't believe how much I need encouragement. For every negative that is spoken to me, I need about 300,000 encouragements, just approximately. But Fred Hands was one of those people who I knew, even if I knew he disagreed with what I'd said, he found some way of encouraging me. And that was such a beautiful thing and such a necessary thing for me. And he did it always in the spirit of Jesus. And that was such a lovely thing. If your grace gift is giving, then give generously. And you might be thinking, I've got all this money. What do I do with it? Well, give it in the spirit of Jesus. What would Jesus do with this money? Give it. In the spirit of Jesus. And then we're told, if it is to lead, do it diligently. Leadership, of course, can be very top-heavy. It can be very directive. Leadership can be very controlling. You know, you've got to do this and there are no other options. You must my way or the highway. Lead in the spirit of Jesus. Interestingly, I don't think Jesus ever speaks directly about leadership or about leaders. I don't think he ever does. And yet we make such a big thing often in our world, in our church, about, oh, who are the leaders, whatever. He said, Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, learn to be, what is it? A servant of all. That's what leadership looks like. On the night that Jesus shared his final meal with his disciples, we're told that he took off his garments and he got a bowl of water and he knelt down in front of every single one of his disciples and washed their feet. And then he said, you've seen me do it, now it's your turn. That's leadership in the spirit of Jesus. And then the final one, if it is to show mercy. If it is to show mercy and compassion. If it is to be moved by the plight of others. Do it cheerfully. And this is about empathy. One of the things I've been upset this week, you know, and certain Christians writing off the notion of empathy. Say, oh, don't like empathy. And I think, well, read the Gospels, and you find empathy on every page. Empathy is about compassion. It's about mercy. It's about feeling what other people are feeling and walking with other people and being broken when other people are broken and weeping when people are weeping. And then Paul says, well, if you feel like that with people, do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully in the spirit of Jesus. And so this is a key aspect of being a disciple. We've already touched earlier in our reflections that discipleship is not a lone thing. It's us all kind of helping and serving one another in following Jesus and figuring out what God's will is. And we recognize that God never leaves us alone in the task. He doesn't abandon us in this task of trying to follow Jesus. But the encouragement with whatever gift, whatever skill, whatever ability we have, do it according to the faith you have, the depth of that relationship you have with Jesus. Do whatever you do in the spirit of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you died on the cross, the victim of the violence of humanity. But your Heavenly Father, God Himself, raised you from the dead and gave you life that is eternal. And Father, we thank you that the life of Jesus can be experienced by each one of us as we open ourselves to you. And we ask you to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to fill us with the Spirit of Jesus, the one who even now is alive. And we pray that for ourselves. We pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Jesus. Father, we read earlier that we were to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we know sometimes we get so stuck, so fixed in the way that we think and the things that we believe. We pray that as you fill us with the Spirit of Jesus in a fresh way, you'd be working on that transformation and you would help us to do that as well, so that we might think in the way of Jesus. But Father, we take this opportunity to commit ourselves again to you, to live and to love and to be more like Jesus every day. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.